It's a real privilege for me. It's to be able to share kind of the work of the church in outreach. There's a lot of places where there's works of the earth, works of the church, but this is one of them where we are involved in the community around us, particularly the communities that are at risk. But I just really appreciate the word from the Lord this morning, talking about new wineskins and talking about even places where we have served and places where we've been for, you know, quite a while. There's a new word from the Lord, and there's a new wineskin that He wants to pour out from in us. And I just really appreciate that word. Last fall, several of us from the CRC group were invited to a leadership conference in Richmond that was put on by Christianity Today magazine, called "This Is Our City." And the scripture was from Jeremiah. It was the word of the Lord of the Israelites as they entered into Babylon, really kind of the sequel to Isaiah. Spoiler alert, I'm sorry if you haven't finished it yet, but it doesn't end well for the Israelites. They end up in exile. They end up not listening to Isaiah, and there they are. So here this word comes from the Lord, and it's from chapter 29, and no, it's not the one that everybody likes, you know, where the Lord, you know, blesses you and you get candy and free gifts and all those sorts of things. It's the one before that. And the one before that where it starts in verse 4 and it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and begot sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that you may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished." Now this was kind of a different kind of a, I guess I just hadn't paused there long enough to really look at it, but with this being kind of the feature scripture, this is where they were. And I had always kind of looked at the exile as kind of this cosmic go to your room of God. You know, okay, you won't do what I say, go to Babylon and don't watch TV, you know. And really what it's saying is they're saying, no, I want you to go there and I want you to thrive. I want you to live and thrive in the presence of these that have taken you captive where I have caused you to be captive. And as stunning as that is, the next verse says, "And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away. And pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will find your peace." So, my peace has got to do with this place that you have committed me to live, that was not my idea to live there, and that you sent me there because of my own disobedience. And I have to live among these heathens, and what you're expecting out of me is to live there in peace and to pray for their peace. Wow. Wow. And just what is peace, anyway? Well, the speaker there went on to define the word shalom as comprehensive flourishing. Comprehensive flourishing. Now, I've always thought of shalom as being, well, peace, okay? And as it's used here, as you see, where he says, "I seek the shalom, seek the peace of the city that you live in." He's really asking it. He's saying, "I want you to pray for this city to flourish, because as it flourishes, you will flourish with it." Now, I knew then that there was a new wineskin. That I had come home from that conference, and Ann and I talked about it all the way home, this new idea of what shalom was. But I knew I had to do a lot more with it. So, at that time, we were getting ready to start our life groups. And so we started 3D, shout out, life group, 3D guys, whoop, whoop, yeah, there we go, all right. And so I was given the opportunity to teach it, and so I thought it would be a great opportunity for me to learn more about this word shalom, and then drag the rest of these guys along with me, so appreciate you guys with that. And in it, I found a word that I thought we would spend a couple of 3 weeks on, and we're still in it. We're still looking at it. Why? Because it appears 550 times in Scripture. 550 times.
Now, we see it translated as peace, but we also see it translated as wholeness, complete, perfection, prosperity, repay, restore, healing, committed, devoted, determined, loyal, accurate, honest, fellowship, and of course, peace. Shalom refers to the whole stones in Deuteronomy, to the finished temple of Solomon and Kings. It makes several references to repayment and restitution in Exodus, and even David's inquiry into the shalom of war. The shalom of war. Scholars kind of refer to shalom as this unifying vision. It's like this basic core belief that's central to the beliefs such as salvation, atonement, forgiveness, and justice. Basically speaking, that when you hear those words, shalom is implied. That's how big a word that it is. In the Bible, the way that we use the word shalom should be correctly understood to be universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. The webbing together of God, humans, and creation and justice, fulfillment, and delight. So in other words, what shalom is, it's the way it ought to be. Shalom's the way it ought to be. Shalom is the earth as it was created in the garden and the state to which it will return when the kingdom comes back. The fall is best understood as an assault on shalom, covenant as the promise of shalom, Christ as the incarnation of shalom, and revelation as the fulfillment of shalom. Shalom best understood as we understand it has got nothing to do with you. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's really a corporate expression. You got no chance of personal shalom at the expense of someone else. You got no chance. So my version of peace, you know, peace which meant the absence of something, the absence of a war, the absence of strife, the absence of children, the absence of interruptions when I'm trying to watch a football game. It's really not what we're talking about here. The message of Isaiah is, keep those among you in bondage, and you're going to be in bondage. You want peace, you're going to have to participate in the peace of those around you. And that's really what Cornerstone Revitalization Center is about. That's really what it is. Our call is to seek shalom for the most impoverished, the most at risk, the most neglected, the most forgotten parts of our community, so that when we gather at Thomas Dale with the community, we can pray for the community and the shalom of the whole community. Because Chesterfield County shalom is directly tied to most demographic worst areas of Chesterfield County. We want shalom in our lives. If we want shalom in our families, if we want it in our church, if we want it in our communities, and we do, and we do. We have to want it for the least of these in our community as well. And to do that, we'll have to go where they are. We can't just put a marquee sign out front and say, please come. We've got to be where they are. Cornerstone Revitalization Center is being where they are. That's who we are. So, how does shalom happen? Well, shalom happens, and that's your little number one in your outline thing. You got to have an outline thing if you do talk here. You've got to have blanks to fill in. It's required. They won't let you do it otherwise. Shalom happens when we seek it out. Psalm 34:14 says, seek peace and pursue it. Peace doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen while you sit at home. It doesn't happen while you sit here. It sits when you go and look for it. It happens when you go and seek it. It happens when you answer the call. It happens when Terry Martin hears a sermon, asks what he can do, and looks at his bulletin and writes at the bottom of it and it says, I can cook. I can cook. Do you know what a hole there is in this church right now? Because somebody who said he could cook for as long as he could isn't here to cook anymore. ...450 people showed up to testify what a difference there was in their life because Terry Martin said, I can cook. I can do that. I can cook. Too often our gospel is just this like real grand vision in principle. It really is. But it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of difference in practice. The gospel makes a difference. It makes a difference now and eternally. What CRC is about is making a difference in the now and in the eternity. To look and say a life in Christ is better than the life that you know now. And to bear that witness out among them. Not to stand over and preach it to them, but to live it with them. To say, we're an us now. We're not a you and an us. We're all an us. And we're living it together. Number two, shalom happens when, I'm looking at this thing here. Okay, step it up. Shalom happens when we work for righteousness. Isaiah 32:17 says, the work of righteousness will be peace. The work of righteousness will be peace. The word is mishpat. And it's a sister cousin of the word justice. You cannot understand these terms separately from each other. Back in June, Richmond, our city, hosted an adult expo. It hosted a place that was an open forum to celebrate sexual depravity. And Don King and our leaders here with New Creation Women's Center Chrissy was involved with it, got together with other churches, and instead of going protesting like the church would be expected to do and yelling and screaming, they went in love and made personal contact with the people that industry was abusing. Fighting with love instead of anger. Peace is the product of a righteous work, being a light in a dark place. Number three, shalom happens when the enemy's authority is destroyed. If you look at the bulletin, I put in there the Hebrew lettering for you, and I really appreciate you having patience with me with my southern version of Hebrew. We're going to do a little word study here. Now, Hebrew lettering is a pictograph, and you see at the top of your bulletin page there, that is the Hebrew expression for the word shalom, and it's understood as reading right to left. So your first letter there that looks kind of like a W there, okay, that is the word shin, S-H-I-N. And it's represented pictorially as teeth. Think of the under incisors of a carnivore, okay? That's the picture you have there. And the word means to destroy. The second letter is the letter lamed. That means lamed. Excuse me, that is lamed. L-A-M-E-D. And that is represented by the staff. And that means authority. The third letter, very interestingly, is the letter mem. M-E-M. It's from where we get the word mayhem. Mayhem. It's one of our contests in 3D. Mayhem, which means chaos, represented by water. Water? Really? Yeah, water. Think of water not in your terms, but think of water in terms of an expanse of water and an ancient ship with no way to navigate and no land in sight. That's the picture that's in front of you with chaos. I don't know where I am. I don't know where I'm going. I've got nothing to navigate by. That's chaos. And that's chaos as it's understood in Scripture. Water is symbolic of chaos in ancient times. So this mem is this same mem that God is hovering over at creation. This is what God speaks to at the very beginning. And when He speaks, order happens. And chaos has to depart. Light is separated from darkness. Land is separated from sky. Earth is separated from sea. And this is an extremely important theme in Scripture. God preserves Noah from the flood, from the mem that destroys the earth. God parts the Red Sea to rescue Moses and the Hebrews. Jesus walks on water and calms the sea. And this justifies his position of authority. When you're a Hebrew and you see a God make a command to the water and the water obeys you, game over. That's God. Game over. That's God. So literally, and this new wineskin just keeps getting newer and newer, this word is revealed literally as meaning shalom is to destroy the authority of chaos. That's what peace is. It's when you have taken that authority that is over your life, that commands that this chaos be in your life, and say, I don't yield to that authority anymore. This summer, CRC hosted a SummerSlam. It's just, oh my gosh, if you can just get out there one day a week, one time next year, what an incredible event. It's an opportunity for us to open up really the gospel to the children of this community, of the community of Shady Hill, of community of the Bellwood Masonettes, the community of Fallen Creek Apartments, of the whole Bensley community. We had over 100 kids at this thing. And so you can kind of imagine, we also had a mission team. We had a mission team hosting a mission team this year from Rocky Mount came up. Keisha Spivey led it, just incredible team that came up. We had youth from our church. We had the neat t-shirts. We did the whole thing. It was great. And these kids, as you can imagine, we're doing, as Pastor Anidra, you build on the energy of the kids and you use that energy in the worship and they're jumping around and they're having a big time. And it's just kind of something you tolerate, the loudness and the activity level, because that's what you do with kids, right? That's what's going on. In the middle of this thing, Keisha gets a word that she needs to share her testimony. Now, you got to understand that a lot of these kids come from very great, loving homes, but the vast majority of them come from a home where chaos rules in their home. And they see nothing that even resembles anything of likeness from their own parents, from anything that they're exposed to around them. It is a place that I can only tell you that I have seen things that just offended me right down to the core of who I am. Just deeply offended me. And Keisha starts to speak. The Holy Spirit is prompting her about the conditions in her life growing up, which were very similar to these children. And telling these children, these 6, 8, 10, 12-year-old kids, that they may have to be the only light there is in their own home. And this silence. This silence comes to rest over this picnic shelter that we're in. And 100 kids fall silent. You could hear a pin drop. Their eyes all focused on the word that Keisha's bringing. And when she asked if any one of them wanted that light in their life, wanted to have Jesus to be with them through all of that darkness, she might as well have yelled stampede. Because to a person, every one of them stood up and ran up to her to have Christ in their lives. You know, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened if Steve and Chrissy hadn't prepared invitations for us. If Steve hadn't made sure that he went to Fallen Creek to get the child that turned to me and said, I've never heard of a Bible before. What are they talking about? It wouldn't have happened if Harry Rosemarin had said, you know what, I'll take a couple of days off and drop the bus. It wouldn't have happened if Jeff Knickerbocker hadn't stepped in and said, I'll cook hot dogs, because Terry Martin couldn't. This happened because somebody said yes, and because they yielded to who God was in that moment and said, that's the authority. That's the authority that's going to take place here. That's the authority that's going to give presence over the chaos, and that's what we're going to stand on, is that authority, the authority that destroys chaos. You know, it's just such a privilege to be part of an organization that puts feet to what Christ has called us to do. And I do want to use this as an opportunity, as an invitation. We need help. We need to grow. There are more children. There are more people. There are more parents who need to know Christ, that need to be reached in this forsaken area. God's good. And what He's done through the 16 outreaches that we have right now, it's getting noticed. Getting noticed to the point where the county has agreed to give us a classroom trailer, which will be placed in Shady Hill in the next couple of weeks. It's going to triple our capacity. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. God's love for us was incarnational. It said, be there. Be in the neighborhood. Be part of them. Move in. And that's what we've done. Our goal last year was to become part of the community and be in the community every day of the week. That's a goal that with the Lord's help we have reached. Shady Hill is active in the community of Bensley every day of the week now. Our next step is to be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're going to need a lot of new faces to do that. Where's that place you can say yes? Where's that place you can write down and say, yeah, I'll do that? That's the last blank on the bulletin. I've given you some ideas over to the left. Some places where you can serve that you can, and names that you can contact for more information. But really, you know, saying yes is what Cornerstone Revitalization Center is all about. I could talk to you about organizational and dollars and different things like that. But you know, it's when Diane Huff says yes to Monday night women's Bible study. It's when Joe Olson says, kids, yeah, I can read with kids. It's when many of you have said, I can give to financially support what you're doing there. What can you do? It's a simple question. I think one of the gifts that we had in the past few weeks of just seeing the fruit of one person saying yes. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to take some time during communion and say yes to something. Doesn't have to be what we're doing, but let it be something that God has glorified and that His fruit comes forth from. Bless all of you.